To kind of get started, to give you a little bit of a background on this data that I'm going to present, I need to give you a little bit of background on the company so that you know where this data comes from. And basically, we're a privately held company out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And when we first started about 21 years ago, we were really focused on the southeast portion of the country. So we have a lot of business in that area, but have since spread throughout the country and have pest business everywhere but Alaska, Hawaii, Montana, and the Dakotas. So this data does not include any facilities from those states. We do about $50 million worth of business, but I am a technical person, so I never really pay a lot of attention to that. I think it might be $60 million, but I thought I would be safe in saying $50 million. And as you can see from this this list, it's commercial only. We do, well, I've listed here hotels and resorts, and we do a very wide variety of hotel type facilities, anywhere from very limited service facilities to five-star locations, five-star resorts, that kind of thing. So very varied client base in that regard. So when we set about to analyze some of the data that we had, we basically had three questions in mind, three goals that we wanted to achieve by looking at the data. The first was to see if we could tell how extensive the bed bug issue was. The second was to see, you know, will our data tell us anything about whether we're getting pesticide resistance, because we were getting field reports of that, but we wanted to see if there was some way that we could really tell whether this was happening or not. And we also wanted to see what kind of evidence of reintroduction into the same facilities that we could find from looking at the data. So to give you a little bit of background, what we did is we put together a pool of about 700 locations, and we considered these mid-range hotels. We thought it was going to be inappropriate to compare the five-star locations with the real basic service type locations, so we figured out this term of like mid-range hotel, and the way we defined that was that it would be basically affordable to the middle class, that it would have limited service, in other words, no restaurant. That's usually the kind of the differentiation point between limited service and full service hotels. And we didn't exclude facilities that had some suites that might be used for long-term residents. We didn't include those, but we felt like we had a pretty homogeneous group across the country. And those 700 locations represented 75,000 hotel rooms in all those properties. So again, to give you a little bit of a background on our process, you know, generally, commercial clients, hotels in particular, have a great understanding of the liability issues associated with bed bugs. So typically, we are getting excellent cooperation from our clients. Now, does that happen every time? Absolutely not. But in general, I would characterize it as above average cooperation. This is something very, very different from the people that service residential clients. And I should add that at Steritech, we don't consider apartments and condos to be commercial, which a lot of pest management companies do. We consider those to be strictly residential, so we don't do any of that kind of work, basically. But the process we go through is just an extremely thorough inspection and treatment. This, you know, it's really not the topic of my discussion here today to go into a lot of details on that, but suffice it to say that we're ripping the room apart, we're taking off outlet covers, we're taking pictures off the walls, taking down curtain rods, all that kind of thing. We're basically dismantling the room. We're having them quarantine linens and then get them laundered separately. We do ask that the mattress and box spring be disposed of. We feel that in our clients' facilities, where they're going to have people staying back in these hotel rooms, that it presents a bit of a liability issue for them to encase mattresses and box springs that could potentially harbor live bed bugs. So what we do encourage is that on those new mattresses and box springs that they install, that they do encase those so that in the future they're not going to have to replace those. We do inspect above, below, and beside the infested room, which we call the primary room. And that room is held out of service for 14 days and does receive some follow-up inspections during that time. So that gives you an idea of the process that we go through. So how extensive is the bed bug issue? Just to give a little bit of personal observation to this as far as time frame goes, I'm tagging on to Sripat's talk a little bit about historical perspective. But this isn't ancient history, I guess I should say. From 1987 to 1994, I worked for a pest management company who did both residential and commercial. And during that time period, I was never asked to consult in a commercial facility. And in fact, I was only consulted on one residential situation that was actually quite severe and fairly traumatic for all of us. It was a disabled person involved and that sort of thing. So we kind of felt our way through how to treat for that and that kind of thing. And I will also say I learned something else from that, which was that you really need to supply technicians with really good, solid collection vials, because they had left this flimsy container on my desk to have me identify the insects. Mm-hmm. And I came back and they were gone. I said, "What was in here?" "Well, we're not sure. We need you to look at it." And I found a couple bed bugs in my office and started to say, "How many were in the little container?" And I had found 11 of them, and we never did know, you know, how many were actually in the vial, but I actually assumed that I got all of them because I never had any problems with it. So just one during that time period, that was in the Pittsburgh area. From 94 to 2000, I worked for Steritech in the D.C. market, but I covered the Mid-Atlantic region, is what we called it. And basically during that time period, I have to tell you that it wasn't a surprise to us to get a bed bug call. Did we get as many as we have now? Absolutely not. But we weren't surprised. Unfortunately, we really don't have computer data that we can access to look at the actual number of jobs that we got. But I would have to say that it wouldn't be uncommon that we did one a month, two a month possibly at the very most, specifically in the D.C. area. But almost every time in those circumstances, it was related to a guest from a foreign country in the hotel, and almost always a guest that had stayed for a long period of time. So typically these were hotels that were near hospitals, and these were people who had a relative in the hospital, and they were staying in this hotel for 2, 3, 4 months while their relative went through some treatment. And just to report some information that NPMA has stated is that the National Pest Management Association, they say that their members began to report seeing bed bugs residentially in multi-unit dwellings around 2003, and that in 2004, 2005, 2006, they began to see them more and more in detached homes. So I didn't find any information from other companies regarding commercial facilities or hotels in particular, but certainly this would not, you know, this is in line with some data that I'm going to show you later that we found in hotels. And probably around 2005 is when this really picked up in the media, when you started to see things in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, that kind of thing. It began to pick up a lot of momentum, and it's still there. You're still seeing a fair number of stories on this. So this is our number of different properties that we've treated. Of those 700 locations that are in our data pool, you know, back in 2003, we only treated 6 of those locations. So not very many, just starting to get rolling. But by 2007, we had treated 2 in 2007, and this data goes through the end of October of 2007, we had treated 293 different properties of those 700 locations. So certainly a big increase. And to kind of summarize that, the percentage of the 700 properties that were treated in 2003, it was 0.9% of those facilities. And in 2007, through October, 43.2% of those facilities have received a bed bug treatment. So to kind of give you an idea of the percentage of increase, from 2003 to 2007, it was basically a 4,800% increase in facilities treated. And the jump from 2006 to 2007 was a 24% increase. So certainly, I don't think anybody could argue with the significance of the impact over the last five, I guess you could maybe even go back 6 years and take a look at that. And certainly, residential data might shed some interesting light on that also. But we also wanted to look at the percentage of rooms within each facility. So we know that we've treated this percentage of the 700 facilities, but how many of the rooms within those facilities actually receive treatment? And the range was basically 0 to 23.3%. And the reason the zero is there is that there were some facilities that called, but we went out and did not find any activity. So we had just one facility that was 23.3% of their rooms were infested within their facility. The average, though, was only 2.5%. And there were only six locations that had over 10% of their rooms infested. And this data is a little bit of a different data set. It was from 2003 to May of 06. So just to kind of summarize this again, let's take a look at the percentage of the rooms that were treated. Remember, there's 75,000 rooms that could potentially be treated. And you can see the steady increase in those numbers. Now, 2003, I believe that is represented by, I think that's seven actual rooms. And in 2007, I believe it's 705 rooms. Yep, so 7 to 705, actually, is the difference here. But keep in mind, the access here is 1%. This is 0.86% of those 75,000 rooms that were treated. So, again, this is all across the country. If you took a data pool of just New York City or just Orlando or just Las Vegas, would you get a different number? I'd have to, I would have to say that you probably would get a different number. So I want to talk a little bit about primary versus secondary rooms, and to do that I need to make clear what those terms refer to. Basically, when we get a call about a room and find that it is infested, we call it the primary room. The rooms above, below, and beside that primary room we call the secondary rooms, and we inspect those rooms. Now, if we go into a secondary room and it has activity, it then becomes a primary room, and of course above, below, and beside become secondary rooms. So you can kind of see that as you do more inspections and get around here, you can, in some facilities, you may add a string of rooms that are infested and you're inspecting above, below, and beside and that sort of thing. So what we wanted to look at was how often did that secondary room become a primary room. And that percentage was 19.7%, so almost 20% of the time one of the secondary rooms became a primary room. Certainly a good reason to inspect those rooms, and sometimes clients can give you a little bit of, they can drag their feet a little bit about letting you into those rooms, but being able to provide some data like this often gets you right in the door, basically, to access those rooms. So when a secondary room becomes a primary room, 71.9% of the time it was beside that primary room, 10.2% it was above the primary room, 17.9% below. And I think really what this what this illustrates is that bed bugs have legs and they will move. If they are not getting the food source that they have in one area, they will move and they will use wall voids to move within a facility. Now, we weren't able to tell, like, was it the left side room or the right side room that had, that most often had the activity in it next to a primary room, but I can tell you just from personal experience, it's the wall that has the headboard on it. That obviously makes sense. And typically in a hotel room, if you look at two rooms paired together, a lot of times you'll have the headboards of the beds along that same wall. So certainly provides the emphasis to clients about why we need to get into those other rooms. It also kind of, I have a quick story to share that sort of illustrates this as well. We were called into a hotel facility that had been diagnosed by another company with bed bugs. I think it was about 8 months before we were called in. And you know, it's expensive to treat for bed bugs. It takes a lot of time, and time is money. So they had decided, well, we're not going to have anybody treat it. We're just going to shut down those floors. We're not going to put guests in them, and we're going to turn the heat off, and we'll just kill them that way. You know, they'll starve. We'll starve them out, or we'll freeze them out. I'm not really sure what their line of thinking was. But by the time we went in, you know, went back in, they were having trouble, sure enough, in other floors above and below these two floors that they had the problem in. And I'm quite certain, I don't know what the bid was from the other company, but I'm quite certain that they spent a lot more money to get rid of that problem, you know, once they had allowed it to move up and down. I think they basically just forced them to go to those other floors. So we wanted to take a look at, you know, was there some evidence of resistance, basically? Could we pull something in the data to show us that? And basically, in 2003, 2004, and 2005, we can show that we had extremely low retreat rates. And basically, we look at two different periods. We guarantee these treatments for a year, so we look at our retreat rate within the year and after the year. And basically, it was just extremely low, very, very negligible. Now, in 2006, we had a pretty significant jump in our retreat rate. So we began to look at, you know, what could some of these issues be that are causing this. And if you've worked in an operation, you know that there can be many issues involved in, you know, relying on people to do the work and that sort of thing. But we had been getting a lot of field reports on resistance. So we actually implemented some changes, several different things that we did. We were relying on synthetic pyrethroid-based liquid residuals and dusts. And basically, in 2007, we have switched away from those to non-synthetic pyrethroid products. We also, in 2007 is when we introduced the use of encasements, but it's a difference in what we were doing in 2006, but I'm not sure that it would really necessarily have an impact on any resistance issues. But certainly, you know, year to date in 2007, those retreat rates have taken a big dive. And while they're not back down to the original retreat rates, we do feel like, you know, we are going to see that as we continue on. I feel like those are going to stay down. So at the moment, we're not concerned about our ability to kill the bed bugs, but we're extremely concerned about our lack of options in our ability to do it. We do feel like that's a going to be an area of risk for us, essentially, moving forward, that we don't have a lot of options, that they're not products that we can rotate with and that sort of thing. So the third question that we had wanted to look at was, does the data support any conclusions regarding reintroduction? And this was a little bit of a difficult question to look at, but we looked at, the way we chose to look at it was the number of times service was requested by a particular facility. So 32% of the time, these facilities called in only once, and 17% were two times. So that's almost 50% of these facilities called in only once or twice. And only more than 10 times is only 8%. So it was fairly uncommon, I guess you would say, that these facilities had to call us more than once or twice. So, you know, does this directly relate to reintroduction? I mean, I'm not convinced that it does, but what I can say is if we take a look at, you know, how could these things get introduced? One, they could get introduced on, you know, linens if you've got the laundry room infested. Now, how did the laundry room get infested? That could possibly be from staff bringing in bed bugs, that sort of thing. There may be some things, you know, I have not seen this myself, but I have heard other people say that they believe that bed bugs were brought in on furniture into hotel rooms when they got, you know, quote unquote new furniture. Now, we have, you know, you've seen this with cockroaches before where, you know, you suddenly have this big spike of cockroach activity in a hotel and you tie it to the mini bars that they just bought and just installed in 50 rooms, and every one of those 50 rooms has cockroaches. There could be some link with something like that, but I would think that you would see them in a lot of different rooms, because typically hotels are really, they'll change out a lot of rooms furniture rather than just one or two or that kind of thing. But there is certainly the circumstance, and we have found this, unfortunately, with some of our customers, where they will try to reuse that mattress and box spring and get themselves in trouble from that standpoint. And we have basically started marking those to make sure that if it does happen, you know, we don't feel like it's up to us to slash that mattress and, you know, carry it down to the dumpster for them. But I can tell you that with some clients, it may come to that, where we feel like we need to charge them for that service. But so with reintroduction, how they're getting in, you know, there could be multiple ways that they're getting in, and I'm not sure that we could ever pinpoint that, but certainly guests are one of those options about how they could come in. We have, at this point, I have only had one report from the field on someone finding bed bugs in kind of an unusual place, and that was in a locker room of a food processing facility on the floor, just like walking along the tile floor, basically. So I'm sure that these types of things are going to become more and more common, where you're seeing them in what we would consider an unusual circumstance. So some of the conclusions that I think we can draw from the data here is that the bed bug issues in mid-range hotels are on the rise. You know, we've treated, over those 5 years, we've treated about 61% or so of those 700 facilities. So certainly it's on the rise. And while the media has hyped this issue relentlessly, you saw that data of it's only 0.86% of those 75,000 rooms have actually been treated. So 99% of the rooms haven't had bed bug issues in that pool. So I think that it's absolutely imperative that we inspect those secondary rooms, that we go above, below, and beside to determine if they do have activity. Certainly the data supports that. And the reason that, you know, if you're sitting there wondering, well, why is that so important? I mean, people pay for inspections, so this means money to them if you're going to be inspecting these secondary rooms. So sometimes it takes a little bit of convincing to say, hey, you know, we really need to get in there. If they're trying to, you know, not spend a lot of money, that's one angle that they might take is, you know, it's not worth it. Well, with this kind of data, you can show that it absolutely is worth it. We do feel like our data does show that we've seen evidence of resistance to synthetic pyrethroids based on those increased retreat rates and the fact that once we switched away from those products, our retreat rates began to decline. And finally, the reintroduction of bed bugs into a facility does appear to be relatively rare. We did not find data that really supported that these things were constantly coming into the facility. So now that you've heard me, you know, say those conclusions, you may be saying, well, particularly the media hype comment, you may be saying, well, you know, I don't really think it's all that important, or it's not that big a deal, or that kind of thing. And I want to tell you that that's the complete opposite of what I would say. Despite the fact that only 1% of those 75,000 rooms were treated, I think it is an extremely important problem because of the economic repercussions. And just to list a few of these kind of things, we have to take these things into consideration, particularly with commercial clients. In March of 06, we're actually going to, I believe Laura Kruger is going to talk a little bit later about San Francisco, but one of the rules that was implemented in 2006 was that the property owners can be fined $500 per day every day that an infestation of bed bugs persists in a facility that they own. So certainly a significant economic repercussion. And in the fall of 2007, this was a kind of a unique approach. The Eastern Nazarene College banned secondhand furniture in their dormitories. So you had to show up like with your futon with a receipt showing you just bought it. And apparently their policy is going to be that you do this every year. So theoretically, every year you're going to have to show up with a new futon and a new receipt. So certainly an economic repercussion. And there's a couple of instances here of, and I'm sure there are many, many others that I could have listed here, where people were, suing. And just, I'm sure you've heard the friend of a friend stories where they had issues within a facility and, went to the hotel management and that kind of thing. But basically, to conclude, the bottom line here is that one room is absolutely too many when your client's brand can be damaged. If you have a zero tolerance philosophy and you have bed bugs in a facility, they've got to go. No one is going to be comforted by the fact that their room was the only room that had activity. So, thank you. I may have just a couple seconds here for a couple of questions.
With the exception of San Francisco, how difficult is it to get the hotel people to isolate those rooms for 14 days?
The question has been asked about how easy is it to get the client's cooperation to hold the room out for 14 days. And I would say that our experience is that they are very open to the idea. They are very, very worried about potential liability, and it's typically not an issue for us.
Do you have the tools that you guys use for doing inspections as far as hand lenses or digital magnifiers?
I would say that the best tool that we have is a very strong flashlight. Like, forget the LED lights. You need a bright white light, basically, to look for these, and just your standard equipment like putty knives and that kind of thing. Most of our guys do not typically have, a digital inspection device.
Do you have a warranty? If so, how long?
Pardon?
Do you have a warranty for your treatments? And if so, how long?
We do warranty our treatment for a year if all of our recommendations are followed and they hold the room out for 14 days.
I'm surprised by your data of non-reintroduction by new clients. I'm wondering, have you looked at the possibility that once the room's been treated and there is residual left behind, couldn't that skew your reintroduction data? I've seen a lot of reintroduction in the area I work in.
The question is specifically about reintroduction, and is the possibility that there's residual left in these rooms limiting the fact that we're seeing reintroduction? And I would say that it absolutely could reduce the potential for reintroduction. Although, our kind of goal with, we are not sort of counting on that residual to maintain protection for a long, long period of time. So it might, if you looked at it over a year. Jim?
I've heard a tremendous amount of time it takes to do these inspections. How much time, how many people are you using to do these types of things?
For an average hotel room, and what is an average hotel room would probably be the next question, but typically I would say that it takes anywhere from, including our follow-up times, anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. Something like that, to do the service. So, Mike?
Judy, you said 99% of rooms in your data pool have not had bed bug issues. That's based on complaints. In other words, have you ever gone through these hotels and actually inspected all the other rooms to figure out?
No, that's a good question. We have not inspected all 75,000 rooms, and that is a bit of a variation between this data pool. Some of these hotels, we have a regular inspection program with them where we may look at rooms every quarter, every 6 months, annually, and some of those facilities we don't do any inspections. They don't hire us to inspect at all. So it would be very variable along the line of these 700 facilities.
No time.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.